The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
We're going to turn to the US with President Biden stepping down, Kamala Harris stepping in, and J.D. Vance being tacked onto the Trump presidential ticket. What the next few months will bring in the US presidential campaign is anyone's guess. It seems to change every single day. Joining me now to try and demystify some of this, Paul Brandis, West Wing Report's founder and White House Bureau Chief. Paul, good morning to you.
How are you, Dermis?
I'm very well, thanks. Every single second, the story seems to change, and everyone's opinion on who is actually out in front seems to change as well. What does it look like from where you're standing?
Well, it's exactly 100 days till Election Day, so we are really in the home stretch here. And what's interesting, you know, it was only a week ago that President Biden shocked the world, I suppose, by announcing that he was dropping out. It wasn't a huge surprise. I think people were kind of expecting it, but nevertheless, it seemed like a shock. But what's interesting, in the past week, so many things have changed to kind of upset the dynamic of the race. I mean, before, it looked like former President Trump was really on his way to a new term in the White House. What's happened in the week since is that Harris, according to most polls, has really either erased or cut significantly into the lead that Trump has had. So that's a very important development. The other things that are really interesting here, and perhaps are off the radar to a lot of casual observers, is that a ton of money has come into her campaign war chest just in the past week. There were some big donors around the country who were hesitant to donate any more money to President Biden. They're now writing some really big checks, something over $100 million U.S. she has raised in just a week. And we're already seeing that money showing up in television ads, and they're bolstering field operations and swing states and that kind of thing. That's the first thing. The other thing that's really important is that there's been a surge of new voter registration, younger people who were apathetic about the Trump versus Biden campaign, who are now registering to vote. And traditionally, the younger people traditionally would go towards the Democratic candidates. So that suggests good news for Harris. So a lot of big things happening just in the past week.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the donors, because I think that highlights the reality of Joe Biden's situation, in that maybe the narrative was trying to be developed that he had taken one for the team and decided to step back and, you know, do what's right for the country. The reality was the donors went after that debate went, wow, that cognitive decline is far more pronounced than anyone really knew or anyone really wanted to admit. And they pulled the money. And so the party had no choice but to really, really pressure him to step aside. And I guess the other interesting side of this is the narrative around Kamala Harris, because up until this point, when Joe Biden was still in place and the conversations were happening around who would replace him, Kamala was left out of a lot of the conversations. There were terms like universally disliked, you know, being thrown around when it came to her potential appeal to potential voters. And she was being lampooned a lot of the time. I want to play a clip of a phrase that there's over 8 minutes on YouTube, if you want to see, of clips of her using this particular phrase over and over and over again, crowbarring it into her speeches. And this was one of the sticks that the other side were using to beat her with, that she had no imagination. Let's have a listen.
I can imagine what can be and be unburdened by what has been, you know? The point about progress is to have the ability to have a vision and a belief and some faith in what can be unburdened by what has been.
What can be unburdened by what has been. Literally, you can listen to 8 solid minutes of her repeating that at speeches around the country over the course of a few years. So But in recent times, she has moved from this to somebody far more relevant. She seems to now have a lot more energy. She seems to have incredible likability. As you say, she's pulling in younger voters, even though she's very nearly 60 herself. She still seems vibrant and young compared to Trump. And the narrative has changed. The energy has changed. And I guess if you're a Republican, you're not in a good place looking at this wave of support for her.
Well, if you, I think all of that is true, but if you look at the polls, nevertheless, when I said that Harris has either erased or significantly cut into Trump's leads, this still remains a really tight race. And as I mentioned, there are 100 days to go. And I think while the Harris campaign is off to a really good start, I think a lot of that is just frankly just a huge sigh of relief that Biden got out. So now the Democrats have a fighting chance. But look, this is going to be a really nasty campaign. And Harris has had a string of good days over the past week. But she's going to have some rough waters ahead as the Republicans unleash their own ads about her. And there's also, and I'm sure that you've noticed this on your side of the Atlantic, this issue of misogyny, I think, is really rearing its ugly head here. There are a lot of people who just don't want a woman to be president. It's just ridiculous, obviously, but there are a lot of people who don't want that. She's also black, which I think is an issue with certain people. So she's carrying some things that some voters in this country who might say, or rather, pointy-headed and regressive and bigoted, use your own word, who just don't want someone like that in the White House. And unfortunately, there are a lot of them. And that reflects, I think, the tight race that we have here. And even Trump himself and J.D. Vance, his vice presidential candidate, they're even talking about this stuff. But they've got to be very careful about not alienating women who they need and black voters who they need. So they really have to walk a very fine line here. And I think you made a good point. I think the Republicans are pulling their hair out trying to figure out how to deal with her. But I have a feeling they'll find a way, because they can really do some pretty nasty things.
Yeah. And I think nasty is the operative word, Paul. And in a way, there are some sides of this, some opinions that would say that it could be Trump's to lose, and that if he can just get a few people around him to say, for the love of God, will you stick to policies? Will you calm down the narrative, particularly now that you're up against a woman? I mean, he's said that Kamala Harris is dumb as a rock. You have J.D. Vance on his side jumping in with really misogynistic statements like, you know, women who don't have biological children are cat ladies. And this stuff, if you're on the fence, if you're unsure, if you're an uncertain voter, this stuff will really matter. And I guess, love him or hate him with Trump, he is a great showman. He has things that Kamala Harris doesn't have. And he has a currency that his voters believe in. You know, he has a personable side to him. And sometimes you think if he just did this, and if he just stuck to the fact that, you know, Kamala Harris was known as the immigration czar, and immigration is the big issue, and on her watch, immigration policies have failed miserably. If he just stuck to that stuff, if he got his personality out there, I can play you a clip. This is him talking about his own comb over. This is a little bit of self-deprecating humor from a rally in Michigan recently.
See the screen up there of me? That's very severe, that comb over. That's a severe sucker. What's with that one? It looks okay from the other side. But that is very severe. I apologize. I looked up there. I said, whoa. That's like a work of art.
So there are sides to him, whether you like him or not, that really feed into his base. And they like the fact that he doesn't sound like a normal politician saying things like that. But what could really work against him, as you say, is this misogynistic narrative, which is backed up now with J.D. Vance on his ticket. And, you know, if he can just tone that narrative down, he could possibly turn the tide and actually challenge Kamala Harris on policy. And that might actually work for him.
Well, if his supporters are counting on him to do that, I think they may be in trouble. I mean, he has never shown a sense of humor, that one clip aside. He simply does not have it. He doesn't like being laughed at. He doesn't like being mocked. He's very harsh about that, very sensitive to attacks on his looks and all of that. And you can be sure that Harris and these Democratic ads are going to take advantage of that. I've already seen ads, in fact, that are mocking him for these things. And the problem is he's so thin-skinned. I mean, he's been a public candidate now since 2015. So there's now a decade's worth of data on him. And that is who he is. He does not have the kind of Ronald Reagan or Bill Clinton charm and personality that can really disarm voters. He's harsh and he's mean, and that attracts a certain type of voter, but he is not really expanding his base. He needs to attract more women. He needs to attract more minorities, and the things he says simply aren't getting the job done. Maybe he can change in the next 100 days. I don't know, but the last 9 years suggests that it's going to be awfully tough for him.
How important will Kamala Harris's potential running mate be, and who do you see getting that gig?
Well, what's interesting is that there's talk that, she'll obviously pick someone from one of these swing states, maybe John Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, which is a very crucial state on the electoral map. I think that would be an interesting choice. There's talk about Mark Kelly from Arizona, another swing state, former astronaut and all of that, a very like rugged Western individual kind of thing. I think either of them would be interesting. I also say keep your eyes out for a guy who is not as well known, but it's governor of red state Kentucky. His name is Andy Beshear. And what's interesting is that I mentioned it's a red state, home of Mitch McConnell, the Senate Republican leader. He's been elected twice in a deep red state as a Democrat. Very popular, very articulate. He would be a very interesting choice as well. So I think it's going to be maybe one of the three of them, Kelly, Beshear, or Shapiro. Either of them are just great campaigners, extremely articulate. They would really take the fight to Trump in a way that would be really interesting. I think they would be kind of an attack dog for Harris. When you're the presidential candidate, you take the high road. When you're the kind of the vice presidential candidate, and we've seen this with Vance, you're kind of the attack dog. You're saying the kind of the nasty cutting things that a dignified presidential candidate isn't supposed to say, although Trump says them too, but traditionally that's the way it works.
Yeah. A dignified is not a word you'd usually use around the whole presidential race at the moment, because it does get dirty at times. Could it be said that maybe Kamala Harris's potential running mate is, because she's so liberal and, represents diversity and all that side of things so well, that she can kind of go more traditional with her potential running mate and almost get the more Republican-y Yellowstone version of a Democrat out there that maybe will get those swing state votes in?
Well, let me say two things about that. I know we're running out of time here, but I think there are a lot of Republican voters who deep down privately won't admit this to anyone, but they're embarrassed about Donald Trump and want some sort of alternative. And perhaps this may be an opportunity for them to reject him. I don't know. But the other thing is, and this is sort of the big trend in America that people need to pay attention to, is that Trump voters, when you really get down to it, Trump's base, Dermis, is just a handful of things. It tends to be a white, male, rural, a lesser educated. Those are the big four trends. All of them run counter to an America that is becoming a less white, less rural, higher educated, and all of that. So, and more women than men. Women are about 53% of the voting base. So all of Trump's support tends to attract folks who run counter to these big trends that are shaping the future of our country again. We're becoming more urban, better educated. It's less not white and not men. So that's sort of the big trend. And unfortunately, Trump has placed the majority of his bets on rural white men who tend to be lesser educated. That's why his base is not really growing as quickly as it could be.
We'll have to leave it there, Paul. Brandis, thank you so much. From West Wing Reports, founder and White House Bureau Chief, thanks for chatting to us today. Always an interesting story and lots of developments every single day across the pond.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.